Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Greg Capone, and tonight we have a very interesting program about a movie locally produced and nationally distributed. The movie's called American Hospitals, Healing a Broken System, and it's the fourth movie in a series of documentaries produced by the Unfinished Business Foundation, founded by Richard Master, CEO of MCS Industries. Richard, a very successful local business operator and philanthropist, took a deep dive into the economics of the U.S. healthcare system after his company was hit with year after year double-digit health insurance rate increases. With Richard Master is filmmaker Vincent Mondillo. Vincent works primarily in the northeastern part of the country as a writer, producer, and director. American Hospitals, Healing a Broken System is an outstanding movie, and you can watch it here in the Lehigh Valley April 24th at the Frank Benko Alehouse Cinema at ArtsQuest. Welcome, gentlemen. You have an interesting program. You've taken a very complicated topic and made it easy to understand. Richard, every business needs an annual budget and a five-year plan. Can you take us down your path to the healthcare system?
Yeah, well, Vince and I started turning over the rocks of the healthcare system about 10 years ago. I had actually been in Chile with my son. We were being introduced to our future in-laws, and my son is an asthmatic and had an attack and realized that he didn't have enough firepower in his inhaler. And we raced out to the local pharmacy expecting to spend $50, $60 for an albuterol inhaler, and it was $15. And I, at that point, asked, what about my blood pressure medicine? And it was $3, $4. And I turned to these young people and I said, you know, we've got to do something about this. We're spending a fortune in our company's health plan for these drugs, and, you know, this is outrageous. And so we started looking at the comparative cost of healthcare in the United States, pharmaceutical drugs, hospital costs, etc. I reached out to my good friend Vince Mondillo from many years, and we were expecting to do something modest, to do a short film on this, and it ended up over the 10 years with four major productions and some also smaller productions here and there on the healthcare system.
Vincent, how do you take a topic like this and break it down so people can understand what's going on?
That is an incredibly difficult process. I mean, typically, I'll probably read about a dozen books, 50 to 100 articles, ton of initial research to determine who we're going to interview. And then from there, we really get together major experts who then, again, typically for every interview, I do about a 1.5 to 2 hour pre-interview by phone. And then the actual interview ends up being same amount of time. So we end up with, I don't know, anywhere from 60 to 80 hours of material. And then it's a matter of just, you know, watching it over and over and over again, chopping it down a little bit, starting to see it take shape, constant discussions with Richard. And, you know, that's basically what the process is.
Richard, you run a big business. How do you plan for healthcare when you're doing your budgets?
Well, it's very difficult, very challenging. You know, from one year to the next, we really have an experience factor. We're self-insured. We're part of a larger group of self-insured, moderately sized companies. So we're rated annually based on what's happened in our particular circumstance. And then there's stop loss insurance. It's a very complicated and, to me, arcane, I mean, not easily understood process. So we end up sitting down with our agent, and the agent explains to us what's happened over the past few years, what is expected to happen, and it always ends up we pay more, and we pay multiple more. Although in the last 2-3 years, as a result of COVID, there's been some changes. For a period of time, hospitals were not doing as many procedures. They were taking care of COVID patients, and now In this past year, there's been more procedures and less of that chronic care situation. But, you know, I wouldn't call it a nightmare, but it's one of the most frustrating things that business people go through, and it's not predictable.
Why is business responsible for healthcare? What happened? How did that happen?
Well, you know, it happened really after World War II, or during World War II, when the business community was looking for workers to, you know, to build the materials that we needed to conduct a war, major war, and they started to encourage folks with healthcare benefits. And that continued on, you know, over the years. And there's been a massive industry. We now spend over $1 trillion. Employers spend over $1 trillion in insurance premiums a year. And that's come up dramatically since the 1950s and 60s. Multiples.
Vincent, people pretty much think that the business owes them health care, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. To me, a very disturbing element in our system, because when you think about it, businesses are not only responsible for payment of health insurance, but they're also penalized based on the health of their employees, if you think about it. If their employees get sick, it's the business that ends up responsible. It's kind of a perverse twist in the whole thing when you think about it. And most other countries, they have systems where, you know, healthcare is not attached to employment in the same way. And when you start looking, for example, at older employers, one of the things that amazes me is when you have employees from 50 to 64 before they get on Medicare, that's costing the company potentially triple what it would cost if you had a 20-year-old employee. So we see this big unemployment situation, difficulty to find jobs, and loss of jobs in that age bracket. But you hardly ever hear people connected to healthcare. But that's what's going on, you know?
A community is really only as healthy as its least healthy person, right?
Correct. Yeah. Vince is referring to the perverse incentives that really are throughout the system. Employees are incentivized to terminate older employees because they cost so much more for its healthcare system. And healthcare can be, you know, 30%, 40% of overall employee compensation. When your MCS plan for a family is now $30,000 a year, $15 an hour, associated just with healthcare alone.
I want to remind people that we're talking about a movie that these two gentlemen put together, American Hospitals Healing a Broken System, and it is going to be shown at ArtsQuest on April 24th. So keep that in mind while we're talking about this, because this movie addresses these issues. Let's talk about universal health care. Can we do this? Do we want to do it?
Well, we can do it, but I think before we do it, we've really got to wrestle with cost. Vermont tried to do it. They had voted to initiate a Medicare for All program at the state level. But when it came down to the final referendum and the final approval, and also the governor got cold feet and he said, you know, we just can't handle these numbers, and they stepped back from it. I know Oregon, for example, is working on they've passed a statewide referendum that gives healthcare as a human right in that particular state. And now they're wrestling with how do we implement that, and it is really a challenge. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to wrestle the cost curve of healthcare. If we do that, then voters are more likely to embrace the idea of universal care.
In the movie, you talk about a procedure that might cost $11,000 in one state and then maybe $3,000 in another state. How does this happen?
It not only state, it could be with it down the street, and it could be within the hospital, because depending on what insurer is paying, it might be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, depending on who the insurer is, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, or commercial insurance. So you get these variations that could be as much as 10 to 1.
Richard, is this part of the broken system?
Yeah. Yes, it certainly is. And so variability in price within the same institution, the same hospital, is dramatic. I mean, they have a sticker price that is out of sight, and people who get their a bill from the hospital will see, could see hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've seen that in my family. I had my mother-in-law was in the hospital for 10 days. Her bill was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Her husband was a carpenter at Bethlehem Steel Company. And, you know, he didn't make that kind of money. And when she saw that, you know, she was outraged. She was, how can this be? And then, you know, there are discounts and there are insurances, and then there's Medicare. And each one of those entities reimburses at a dramatically different rate. What we are seeing across the country is that employer-based insurance is paying 2.5 to 3 times on average what the Medicare reimbursement rate is for the same procedure.
Why is that?
Well,
give us a little taste of the movie here. Okay. I know the movie talks about this, and this is why you need to see this movie.
Okay, so we're talking about the perverse incentives. The insurance companies are supposed to be representing the employers, but they're incentivized to increase cost because they make a percentage of the overall premium that the employer will pay. So if the healthcare costs are going up 5-6% a year, that means their return, they've got a built-in revenue enhancer of 5-6% a year. And that, and the other dynamic was that when insurance companies consolidated, hospitals also consolidated. They became, in every, I think it's 90% of the population centers across the country, we've got monopoly pricing because there are only 2 or 3 hospital networks, or there could be one that are major. And we see it in our own community. We have 2 hospital systems that are really battling for market share. And both follow, I believe, a market dominant strategy. They want to be the number one provider in the area. Well, when that happens, what economists who do healthcare studies, when a hospital consolidates a community, we see major increases in cost. They promise lower cost, but invariably there are increases in cost.
Let's talk about Pittsburgh. What's going on there?
What was going on in Pittsburgh at the time was UPMC, which is the major hospital system in Pittsburgh, also started having their own insurance, right? And Highmark was the other major insurer in Pittsburgh. So what happened was UPMC decided not to accept Highmark insurance, which meant the major hospital available to people in Pittsburgh, they could only access by getting UPMC insurance. So the people in Pittsburgh rose up and said, this is just not acceptable. Shapiro, who was attorney general at the time, said this is not acceptable. So there's a huge battle over that that finally got settled. But it is an example of what Richard's talking about, which is, you know, the monopolization. The more powerful a hospital system gets, that's the extreme of what can happen. So this is one of the schizophrenic things that we had to deal with in the movie. Pittsburgh provides incredible quality care, no doubt. One of the best hospitals in the world. But they're also charging more than any other nonprofit system in the country. The top 10 hospitals are all for-profit. UPMC is the one nonprofit that's in that category. And there's basically, other than Medicare, there's no significant control of pricing on the commercial insurance end. You know, it might be secretly negotiated. It might be the insurance company's dominant, so they are not paying the hospitals as much as they want. This is it is like the wild, wild west. And all of the hospitals are basically functioning to maximize revenue. That's
even the nonprofit hospitals?
Yes,
absolutely.
And nonprofit revenues are really about 75% of hospital revenues. Hospitals take About one out of every $3 that we spend in the healthcare system in the United States, it's about $1.3, $1.4 trillion a year. Our overall healthcare bill has gone from, let's say, 5, 6% in the early 60s up to 18, 19% now of GDP. And hospitals are the major cost in the system.
When you sit down with a retirement planner, the first thing they tell you is, well, you have this and this and this, and then there could be a medical emergency. And there's a big question mark that hangs over your head. So what is this going to cost me? Now, when you get to Medicare, it's not as difficult. Am I right in assuming that or not?
You are correct.
Totally correct. Medicare has standardized pricing, so there's no all of this variable stuff we're talking about. It's all on the commercial side and the non-Medicare side. In terms of what Medicare pays, they're roughly equal to the rest of the world, what the rest of the world pays for healthcare. All of our bloating of American healthcare costs comes on the commercial insurance side, and that element is what has blown up crazily over the last 30 years in particular.
So Medicare has been successful at keeping these cost fluctuations at bay.
Totally, yeah. They're roughly equal to inflation.
So if you're looking at this in an inverted pyramid sense of thought, there's a strong argument for the system throughout our country, isn't there?
Yes. I think that's a very probably the most telling argument is that Medicare regulates price.
Is that socialism?
No, it's not necessarily socialism. Let's look at Maryland, for example, because Maryland is an all-payer system. It's the only one in the country now, right? And it continued. We had regulated prices for 28 states until the 1980s when we went through a deregulation craze. Let the bug hop. Let the business community, take care of the rest of us. And because competition and the dynamics of the marketplace were considered to be, inherently valuable for our particular system. And it, in most cases, in most sectors, it works. It does not work in healthcare. People are not informed about these procedures. In many cases, there's an emergency and they're taken to a hospital that may not be their choice. They're led through the hospital by interested people, doctors and medical professionals. So the information that folks need to be good consumers is just not there. So this is how we've really gotten into a situation where individuals and businesses who also are relatively poorly informed, have not been good consumers. That's going to change. That is going to change because we now have a new level of transparency, price transparency, that is coming into play.
Vincent, when people see this movie, what do you want them to walk away with? What do you want? What's the understanding you're trying to drill down on?
Well, people have heard about the $6 or $10 Tylenol pill forever.
Right.
People have gotten the crazy bills forever. Nobody understands what's under the hood, what's going on, why did this happen, how did we get here? And we're hoping with the movie that finally people will be able to make some sense of where we are and how we got here, and then further, what possible solutions there are. All of the movies we've made, one of our fundamental things is we don't want to do a movie that just gets people all riled up and disturbed and have no idea what can be done about it. So we're very solutions oriented. So there are a number of things that come out of this movie that we're hoping will motivate people to get active on a local level and then also look at what can happen on a state and federal level to begin making changes in the system.
So, Richard, this movie does offer some solutions, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We're particularly focused on the Maryland solution because Maryland has bent that cost curve down. Maryland hospital costs are growing the way the Maryland economy is growing, a little bit less than over the last 4 or 5 years that they've done the budgeting of hospitals. They did all payer initially, and then in 2014, they started a process of negotiating annual budgets for hospitals. Why did they do that? Because when they regulated price, the hospital started doing more procedures than, frankly, we needed, the community needed, excuse me, not we. So they sat down with the hospitals. All 35 hospitals and systems in Maryland agreed to this process of providing an annual budget. The state, one way or another, assures that the budget will be funded, and the hospitals then are incentivized to reduce the need for acute hospital care. And they're incentivized to do things right the first time. So readmissions to the hospitals have gone down in Maryland. There's an increase in chronic care in the community, not necessarily in an acute hospital environment. Infection rates in the hospital have gone down. And Maryland hospitals can benefit financially if they reduce cost and do things right.
And you think we can do that here?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, in Pennsylvania, they've started a process in rural areas where hospital economics are more challenging, of globally budgeting those hospitals so that they can stay alive, they can continue to function.
When you interview people on this movie, what's the one thread that continues to beat a path to this movie? What are people really worried about?
Well, first of all, nobody disagrees regarding the basic premise that the system is totally dysfunctional and a mess compared to the rest of the world. You know, you do not get experts who study this on a serious and high level talking about how good our system is or that it's the greatest in the world. So there's fundamental agreement on that. The other thing is regarding solutions. You know, one of our goals in the movie is we don't really want to present anything that's way out there. You know, virtually everything you see in the movie, no matter how different it may seem from the way things are done, is backed up by serious high-level policy people. So it's not fringe in any way. So we want to give people a very different way of looking at our system, looking at potential alternative ways of doing it, knowing that there are experts at all levels that have a similar vision. We're not saying all experts agree. What we would say is that what we're proposing in the movie is there's a wide basis of support from people that have, you know, this is what they do. This is their area of expertise.
Richard, you make some very strong arguments in this movie. What happens after people see the movie? What do they do? What should they do? What do you want to happen? Well, what's the next step?
We'd like community organizations to lead the way and to really study the impact of their particular hospitals in their communities and to assure that the hospitals provide a real benefit to the community, that their costs are appropriate, that the need for public health is being addressed properly, that the community benefit that each hospital is required in lieu of not paying property taxes is really being honored, that there is substantial community benefit. What we're seeing across the country is that nonprofit hospitals are not paying enough of their resources for community benefit as they're receiving in tax breaks. So this is something that our community should be very much interested in.
Yeah, I think when you do a documentary like this, you want to see some activity after they see this. And
right.
So oftentimes people will see a documentary and say, wow, that was really interesting. You really opened my eyes. And then they'll go home and do the same thing. So there's a transition that I think you're trying to evolve here.
Yeah, and what do we need in the Lehigh Valley? We need mental health services. We need to address opioid addiction. And the question is, are hospitals doing enough? Could they do more? Do they have the resources to do more? Well, we've looked at our local hospitals and their balance sheets, and they have very substantial liquid assets that are not being utilized, in my mind, in the best interest of the community. We're building hospitals in areas that we really don't need to build them. Some of them are underutilized. We're building all these office buildings, and we're investing in ways that I don't think are really in the best interests of our community.
Once again, the movie is called American Hospitals, Healing a Broken System. You can see it here in the Lehigh Valley at the Frank Benko Alehouse Cinema at Arts Quest. We have about a minute left. Vincent, a final thought.
Well, the final thought is connected to the question you're asking, and that is, we make these movies hoping to stimulate community activity and to get people motivated to take action. And I think one of the fundamental issues that we're addressing in the movie is community oversight. Community's got to be involved in all of the questions that Richard just brought up in terms of responsiveness to the community rather than the hospital being in a bubble, making their own decisions about what the community needs or wants. Community has to have huge input into that.
Richard, you don't have to do this, but you're doing it, right? I mean, you run a business. You run a big business.
That's what my wife is saying. I don't have to do it, but frankly, you know, I've been involved in public service in one way or another throughout my life, and I was brought up in the Lehigh Valley, and it's what I know, and I really feel that we're all responsible for the direction that our society takes. So it's been a real pleasure to be involved.
Once again, the movie is called American Hospitals, Healing a Broken System. You can see it here, want to remind you, in the Lehigh Valley, April 24th, at the Frank Benko Alehouse Cinema at Arts Quest. How can people get more information? Website?
Yes, there is a website. Vince, you're doing a lot with the local initiative here.
Yeah. They will need to get the ticket. There are tickets for it, but they're free. Okay. You need to get tickets.
Okay.
And ideally ahead of time, because if it sells out, there might not be seats if people just show up at the theater that day.
So if we search American Hospitals Healing a Broken System, you're going to get a link.
And fixithealthcare.com. And you can also reach out to the theater and, you know, get tickets through the theater. And we have an outreach program as well.
Okay. Fixithealthcare.com. Remember that. Richard Master and Vincent Mondillo, thank you very much for your time. And good luck on your mission.
Thank you.
It's been very interesting. We'll have to do this again. If you'd like to listen to this program again, go to wdiy.org, or you can find this program on the WDIY app. You're listening to WDIY 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Greg Caponia. Have a great evening.